For those of you that weren't here this morning, I think most of you probably were. And so I'm not going to read through all of the notes that I took, but I'm going to read some key things. You can never do what God has called you to do, and basically in and of yourself, in your own strength, without Him. You can't do it yourself. You have to have Him. You have to have His help. And I think at times, for myself, I try to do it myself. You know, I think that it's my responsibility to make things happen, and it's not. He's called you to do things that you can never do in and of yourself, in your own strength. It's just not possible. You have to rely on Him. You have to draw from His strength. You can't do it yourself. There's no security in what God is doing. There's only security in who God is. That was awesome. I'll tell you what. That right there answers a lot of questions for a lot of people. There is no security in what God is doing. There's only security in who He is. He's going to ask you to do things that are going to, for most people, if you really think about it in your soulish man, will scare you. Because why? Because He wants you to be scared? No. Because He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to depend on Him wholeheartedly. My destiny is to walk in the nature of God, in His nature, in who He is. Wilderness is all about discovering the nature of God. Expect to experience the kindness of God every day. If you didn't write that down, you should make note of that. Expect to experience the kindness of God every day. His kindness. Expect it. Look for it. Look for it, you know, all the time throughout the day. And He's going to surprise you with it. He'll sneak up behind you and all of a sudden you'll see the kindness of God. Be completely reliant on His character and integrity. God is the happiest person. God is the kindest person. We don't think about His kindness, how kind He is. We don't think about the fact that He doesn't ever have a bad day. He's never down. He's never sad. Nor does He want His children to be that way. He's happy. He's kind. He's joyous. And that's how He wants us to live. Consistent, yet unpredictable. We seldom know what God is going to do next. I really like that part. We can depend on His nature. We can depend on that. We know that it'll never change. But what He wants us to do is unpredictable. Unpredictable what He's going to have you do next. So you have to rely and rest in the fact that you know His nature and that His nature will never change. God has called you to do the things you will never be able to do in a million years. God commits you to the impossible. The only security is in who He is. God puts us in a situation that is beyond us. Rest in the consistency of God's nature. Have a testimony of what God is really like living in our hearts. What He's really like. Not what religion says He is, but what He really is. What He's really like. That needs to be what just fills us up inside. So I just wanted to share those with you. I thought that was excellent this morning. And I hope that, you know, what we learned in there, what we listened to, we can take that away and not just hear it once and forget about it, because there were some really valuable nuggets in there. Now, if you got a handout, This is a word that was received recently, and it's entitled, "The Holy Ghost is Our Teacher and More." And as I looked through this word this afternoon and dissected it, you know, this is one of the few words that has all three of the Godhead mentioned. You've got Jesus speaking, the Holy Ghost speaking, and God the Father speaking. Covers all the bases. But the essence of this word, and I like to read it, but the essence of this word is the Holy Ghost is really more than our teacher. And I think at times we put him in a box and we forget about who we're dealing with. That the Holy Ghost is the third member of the Godhead. We're talking about God. So you're talking about someone that's, as you look at his person, he's endless. And when we look at him only as our teacher, I think that what we're doing in looking at him only through that narrow prism, we're eliminating a lot of the other attributes and a lot of the other benefits that he is in our, and should be in our lives. He's more than just our teacher. Now let me have you turn to one scripture in John chapter, I believe it's 14. Yeah, chapter 14, verse 16. I want to bring out this one. And it, obviously this is a scripture that you're not unfamiliar with. You know it very well. John 14, 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." The fact that the word "another" indicates that Jesus is saying to the people, to the disciples, you've had one comforter, meaning himself. I'm going to pray the Father that when I'm gone, he'll send you another one. Another one just like the one that you've had. So now you think about this. If he's identifying himself as one comforter, and he's going to ask the Father to send a second one, was the teacher the only thing that the disciples knew in their relationship with Jesus? Just teacher? Think about that. They walked with Jesus daily. Don't you think that there were times that that Jesus would encourage the disciples? That he would just tell them, you can do it. He would encourage them. They would have fellowship with one another. They would converse. It wasn't just that he was the teacher. It was more than that. They had a relationship. They had a fellowship, a communion with one another that went way beyond just a teacher-classroom type of a relationship. This was something where they could look to him. They could ask the questions. They could, you know, talk with him on a daily basis. It wasn't just once a week. It wasn't just, you know, an hour here or there. They lived with him all the time. All the time. They ate with him. They walked down the street with him. Just think about the time that the disciples spent with Jesus. And he's saying right here, you're going to have another comforter. So everything that you see, that you've seen me do, as we've lived together this 3.5 years, all of the relationship, all of this fellowship and communion that we've had together, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to send another one, another comforter that's going to not just be a teacher where you're going to have to be the student, but he's going to be a comforter. And this comforter is going to walk with you. He's going to commune with you. You're going to have a relationship with him. It's going to go beyond teacher-student. It's going to be an encourager when you need encouragement. It's going to be that comforter like Pastor Dave always talks about. He always likes to use the image of a cold winter night. and you're snuggled up in bed, and you pull that warm comforter up, and you just high enough so you have your little head sticking out the top, okay? And he said, that's the image that he gets when he sees comforter. You know, the security, the warmness, he wraps his arms around you. You see, my point is this. There's more to the Holy Spirit than just him being your teacher. Yes, he's your teacher. But he wants to have so much more of a fellowship with you than just that. So if you can get that image as you're reading through the Gospels of what it was like for the disciples to walk with him and to talk with him. You know, did they talk about the weather? Probably. Did they talk about what was happening on a daily basis? Yes, I'm sure they did. I'm sure they talked about a variety of different things. And then you compare that, what I just said, with your experience right now that you have with the Holy Ghost. How does that compare? As I know for myself, it's not that close communion that I see the disciples have had. So what does it mean? Does it mean that the Holy Spirit has work to do? No. It means I have work to do. I'm the one that cultivates it. He's the one. He's there all the time just waiting. I mean, he's waiting for you. He's waiting for the time that you'll spend just communing with him. He's got answers to questions you haven't even thought about yet. He's the one that's going to show you things to come. He's been sent here to help us. And that's the essence of what this word is all about. So I'm going to go ahead and read it. It begins with Jesus speaking. My oneness with my Father while on the earth required oneness with the Spirit. You cannot experience this oneness with me without oneness with the Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit, takes what is mine and will show it unto you. All that the Father has is mine, and I say unto you that he will take what is mine and show it unto you. Fellowship and communion is spirit to spirit. You cannot overlook the importance of my Holy Spirit. You just don't see how significant the role is of the Holy Spirit. He is the bridge that joins me with you. Now, as I read this, I got this picture. I want you to help me with something. Come here for a second. Can you come here? He's going to represent Jesus in heaven. He's got the beard, so I think it works, okay? Okay, and this is a believer on the earth. Now, when I read that verse, or that the words here, when I read this, that he's the bridge that joins me with you, this is what I see. That he's here with Jesus, but at the same time, he's here with the believer. That at the same time that he's communing with Jesus, at identically the same moment, he's communing with you if you have that kind of relationship with him. Simultaneously, he is this bridge. Can you see this? This is what he wants for us. Because this part of it never changes. The part between him and Jesus never will change. What is changeable is the part between him and you. And whether or not you've developed that listening ear to listen to him. Because just think about this. Everything that he's getting from Jesus, he can give it right to you. Now sure, thank you. As you're praying in tongues, he's delivering so much of that into your spirit. But there is a step that I think we need to take where we're listening. We're listening to him speak to us in our known language. Do you think that when Jesus and the disciples spoke to each other? They did it in tongues? No. They did it in a known language that both of them understood. So if he's going to be my helper and he's going to be my comforter, yes, I want him to deposit in my spirit, spirit to spirit, that information. But also, it would be nice to hear in English what's going to happen in the future. Amen? But if I haven't cultivated a listening ear and separated myself to listen to him, when am I going to hear that? So you have to, it takes time. It takes effort. There have been times that I've been real diligent about cultivating that relationship. There's been times that I haven't. And when I haven't, I don't hear the way I do when I diligently make an effort to listen. So I want to encourage you to do that. He's the bridge that joins me with you. It would be impossible for you and I to commune without him. Cherish his presence. Recognize his invaluable ministry and refuse to take it for granted, for it has been made available to you at such a high cost to me. When you look at the Holy Ghost only as your teacher, as important a role as it is, you're focusing only on one attribute and ignoring all his others. Now look at these comparisons. The comparisons here, I think, are probably the whole essence of this word. It would be like focusing on one small microsection of a multifaceted diamond. It's like focusing on one single mountain and ignoring the rest of the entire Rocky Mountains. It's like focusing on 1 gallon of water and ignoring the rest of the entire Atlantic Ocean. Think about these comparisons. And think about what I said at the beginning. He's God. We have to see him as God. We have to recognize that he's endless. And all that he is endless. So we want to be able to tap in to all of his ministry that's available to us. And we have to recognize that it's more than just being the teacher. It's being a friend to you that's closer than any friend you'll ever have. It's someone that will walk with you even when you're ugly and you're not nice. Even when I'm ugly and I'm not nice, he's still going to be there. It's just a matter of me taking the time to acknowledge him. I know Gary's got a teaching, and I don't remember what the title is, but the instruction that the Holy Ghost gave him was that he was to walk around each day, and everything that he did, he had to acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit in everything that he did. If he got in the car and went somewhere, Holy Ghost, we're going to go somewhere. And there he is sitting next to me in the seat. And have a conscious recognition of his ever presence with him. And that's something that I encourage you to do. And I'm going to be focused on doing that, is trying to acknowledge him in everything that I do. Because he's there. But he is such a gentleman that if we don't acknowledge him, he just sits there. I mean, he's there. But he's not going to force himself into your situation. He's not going to force himself into your life. He's not going to make you acknowledge him. He will walk right by you. And the thing that just came to my mind was when Jesus was walking across the water, and he would have passed them by had they not acknowledged him. That's what the Holy Ghost is right here. But he will not force himself on you. You've got to acknowledge his presence. The depths of the Holy Spirit are limitless. The communion available to us is as vast as the ocean. There's no depth, no end to his depth. Why would you ever think that I would want you to try and figure out what I want you to do for me in your own mind? That's ludicrous. But how many times have I been guilty of doing just that very thing? Trying to figure out how in the world I'm going to solve a problem that I'm faced with, when all the time, here is my helper waiting. And it's like the child in the, I'm not trying to represent him as the child, but the one that's sitting there raising their hand wanting to be acknowledged, and we're not acknowledging him. And he's like, I have the answer. I'm right here. I'm waiting for you. All you have to do is just acknowledge me. I can tell you what's going on. I can give you the answer. And all the time we're just, well, I got to worry about this. I got to try to figure this out myself. And we don't have the ability to do that. Only he does. Amen? Remember, he will take of mine and show it unto you, but only when he has an opportunity to do so. So we have to, on purpose, give him that opportunity. Strangers seldom, and I like this one, strangers seldom converse on levels beyond just superficial. If he's a stranger to us, how is he ever going to really get involved in the depth of our life, in the very details that we're faced with every day? Now it switches the, if you look at the, in the parentheses, it says the Holy Spirit. So now we're going to hear from the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be a stranger to you. I can be closer than any friend or brother to you, but I can also be ignored by you, quenched, and even grieved. I am the teacher who loves you beyond words. My desire is to see you fulfill your place in his body. Let's stop there. That's his goal. That's his desire. He wants you to fulfill that place in his body. He wants you. He wants to be the trainer that gets you into shape, so that you can fulfill the role that God's called you to fulfill. He wants to be the one that you come to, that you ask, what do I need to do next? Okay, this is what you need to do next. Do this right here. I want you to study this. I want you to spend time doing this. If we'll listen to him, he can coach us in exactly the areas that we're in need of. Commune with me and allow me not just teach you, now look at this, but to mold you and to form you. And I get this picture of this master that has the clay in his hands, and he's molding that clay and he's forming it to just exactly the shape that he wants us to be in. And I see, and the Holy Ghost, he doesn't hurt you as he does this. It's gentle. He's gentle with us. But all the time, he's doing it with a picture inside of him of what he wants us to be, to turn out to be. He's the one that has that picture inside of him. He's the one that has us in his hands, if we'll let him. If we'll let him mold us and shape us into the shape that God wants us to be, so that he can use us. You are the clay, and I am the hands of the potter in the earth. If you remember Wednesday night, I taught a message here about being in the bosom of the Father. With this word in mind, as he's identified himself as the hands of the potter, think about this. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the arms that draws us and holds us to the bosom of the Father. That's where the Holy Ghost, that's his role. He's drawing you and holding you to the bosom of the Father. He's the helper. That's what he does. You are the clay, I am the hands of the potter in the earth. I mold you. I hold you in my hands. And I squeeze out all the air pockets so you don't explode in the heat. If you've ever made any kind of pottery, anybody ever made pottery? When you make pottery, what happens if you make, let's say, a bowl or a pitcher or something? What happens if there's air pockets in the clay? When it heats up, what happens? It destroys it. It explodes. So here's the Holy Ghost. He's saying, I am the master that has you in my hands. You're the clay and I'm forming you. And in that clay, there's those air pockets, those pockets of imperfection. As you spend time with me, I'm squeezing out those pockets. I'm getting rid of those imperfections, because if I don't do this, when the heat gets turned up, if there's air pockets in you, if there's imperfections in you, you'll explode. You won't be able to handle the heat. So let's take that and let's apply that to revival. With us, we need to be in His hands, allowing Him right now to squeeze out all the air bubbles. You know, as I stand here, this is year 2011. This church has been here with the purpose of receiving the revival for years. Years and years now. Been a lot of people been through this church. A lot of people. But as they have come and as they have gone, many of them have left with the same thing. Why is it taking so long? Why is it taking so long? And instead of staying here, now follow me, instead of staying here and submitting to the process and allowing the air bubbles to be worked out of the clay, instead of doing that, they've left. Now, I don't fault anybody. Sometimes it's not comfortable getting the air bubbles squeezed out. As gentle as the Holy Ghost is, there are still times it is not comfortable doing it. But I'm here to stay. Air bubbles and all, I'm getting them out. They're going to be worked out. But what I encourage you to do is submit to the process. As uncomfortable as it may be at times, make friends with the Holy Ghost. Make friends with Him. Acknowledge Him in every area of your life. Let Him work out those air bubbles so that when revival manifests here, because it will manifest, when it does, you won't explode. I mean, it's hard to imagine when we're watching the people come up and the maimed are having limbs grow out. What kind of an attack the enemy will launch at that moment to try and stop it? It's kind of hard for your mind to imagine that, because think about what kind of influx there will be into the kingdom of God when people are watching the maimed be made whole. When they're watching the lame get out of the wheelchairs, think about how many people are going to come into the kingdom. And as they come in the kingdom, the enemy will launch an attack. And if you think it's bad now, what will it be like then? But at the same time, we're going to see so many people walking into the kingdom of God. So many people, lives changed. Now is the time for me to get the air bubbles worked out. Now is the time for me to allow the Holy Ghost to work out those imperfections from the inside out. Can't change them from the outside. It has to be from the inside out. I am the coach who is encouraging you to go beyond where you have ever gone before. I like the whenever he calls himself the coach. I like that. You know, because coaches don't settle for just second best. You know that? They won't settle for anything. Coaches will push you. Your son played football, didn't he? Was there ever a coach that you ever saw that, oh yeah, second best, that's fine? Absolutely not. Second best is never okay. Never. You're striving for perfection. You're striving. You're pushing towards the mark. Always. And the coach is, he's pushing you, but he's encouraging you. He's not just your coach, he's your friend. And he's gentle, but at the same time, he's going to get the best out of you. I want you to see him like that. He's gentle. He's not a pushover. He's going to push you. He's going to challenge you to go beyond what's comfortable for you. To go beyond. Go beyond that. To be the very best. That's what coaches do. And then this statement. What you need, I am. And I think that sums it up right there. What you need, I am. I am. When he said, I would not leave you as orphans, you must look into the depth of what he said to you. Orphans are alone. You're never alone with me. Orphans are helpless. You're never without your helper. Orphans don't know the love of a parent. The Father's love I show unto you. Now look at this. I'm the conduit that all of who he is flows through to you, and through which all your worship flows to him. So you get that picture of what we did with the people. He's the conduit in the middle. He's the one that connects you with heaven, with you, with the Father, with you, with Jesus. He's the one. That's his job. Now look at what the Father says. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that you do for me that goes unnoticed or unappreciated. When there are so many who walk blind of me and deaf towards me, to have one who longs to please me and lifts up his voice to me makes all of heaven rejoice, and not a word falls to the ground unnoticed. When you think about your Father, and you think about, where do I fit? Where do I fit in his plan, in his overall scheme? Am I just some little cog somewhere? No. You're his child. The apple of his eye, you're everything. You in yourself are everything to him. I don't see myself as that enough. I don't. I don't see myself as important to him as what obviously I must be. He sent Jesus for me. You know, he sent Jesus. I don't see myself that way. I see myself somewhat insignificant, you know, as someone that's just kind of, you know, what, just trying to do the best I can. But that's not the way he sees us. He sees us as individuals, as individually having the value of his son. Individually having the value that his son would die for each one of us individually. Don't see yourself as insignificant, because you're not. Not in his eyes. In your own eyes, you might be, but not to him. You have great value. There's a couple of statements here at the end I want to point out. A responsibility of the Holy Ghost is to prepare us for the battle, walk with us into battle, and minister to our needs after the battle. It's a partnership with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost's purpose is to glorify Jesus. The Holy Ghost will tutor us to the place that he can manifest himself through us for the purpose of bringing glory to Jesus and subsequently the Father. I like this. It's a partnership with the Holy Ghost. He's going to be with us before the battle. He's going to prepare us for the battle. He's going to walk with us into the battle. And then after the battle, he's going to minister to our needs. I hope that as you read this word, and I hope you take it with you, and that you look back on it, and that you just kind of meditate on it. Let it roll around inside of you. If you can see the Holy Ghost and the role that he wants to play in your life as more than just the teacher that stands up in front of you and instructs you, but as the one that comforts you, the one that you can confide in, that you can talk to, that you can share the things with, that you don't feel like you have anyone else to share those things, those thoughts. That's what he's there for. Amen.